I would like to talk about something that we have all been guilty of some time in our lives, something that can be very easy to commit, and at the same time, very difficult not to do. We may be unaware at times that we are even doing it, or commit this sin unintentionally, perhaps just to make fun out of it. Now, it may not seem critical to us, as compared to other sins that may seem more crucial when we sin. I am guilty of it, as I'm sure some of you are guilty of it as well. And I can't stress enough that we are only human, and sometimes we are prone to make wrong decisions and wrong choices. Now, we are approaching a man-made holiday, which has deceived the whole world, thinking that this day is good to keep, when the whole world is absolutely blinded by the fact that God prohibits it, the keeping of Christmas, that is, and of course, nowhere does the Bible even say that we should keep it. Well, since the title was very obvious in the update, I think you already know what I'm going to talk about today, and since there's no reason to add to the suspense, we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Another way, you shall not lie. I plan on speaking about different levels of lying. Some that can be viewed as a more innocent lie or a white lie, so they say, to a more severe problematic lie, which can lead to habitual lying. So, what does this have to do with Christmas? You know, well, Christmas is based on a lie, and we've already read about that in a few updates we've recently received and a few messages we've heard, so I'm not going to talk about Christmas. I'm just going to point out few things again, just to refresh your memory. If you want the religious aspect of Christmas, we know that Christ was not born in the middle of winter on December 25th or any other day around that time, as other religions like the Greek Orthodox churches keep it on January 6th, or let's say the Jews keep Hanukkah, keep it for 8 days. Nowhere does the Bible even say that we should celebrate his birthday. Nowhere does the Bible say that we should decorate our dwellings with lights and decorations, and that we should exchange presents, get a tree and decorate it, even though the Bible specifically tells us that we are not to do that. And that's from Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2-4. Now, to a more holiday setting, since this is now designated holiday for religious and unreligious people to observe, both very extreme religious people and atheists can both enjoy the celebration of Christmas. Pagan customs have devoured the human minds into adopting ridiculous ideas such as a Santa Claus that comes and brings presents to kids all over the world. We all know there's no Santa Claus. And what parents are telling their children is a lie. Actually, just yesterday, part of my job involves delivering products, office supplies to a bunch of businesses around San Diego. And one of my big companies or places where I deliver it would be the hospital. And they had a Santa Claus there. And they decorate the hospital, you know, with all these presents and whatnot. And the funny thing is, here they have a sign, make sure you don't place these objects here because it could be hazardous to people, you trip over. And so here they are decorating everything with a big giant Christmas tree in the way and presents and whatnot. But here's a Santa Claus going around, you know, going out to every office, you know, ho, ho, ho. And here are these kids, you know, they have this, like, really good look on their face. They're really excited to see him. And, yeah, that it is nice when the kids smile, but it's the whole point behind it, you know, because it is based on a lie. Now, I tried to get out of there because Santa was going to every person he could see wishing him Merry Christmas. So I'm trying to get out of there. It's like, okay, so I'm going the opposite way, and here I go down the elevator to go to, you know, I was on 11th floor, and all of a sudden I go down to 5th floor. What do you know? Here I deliver something to Santa right there again. It's like, it almost seemed like he was following me. So every floor that I went on, he was at the same floor. And I don't know how many times he passed me, and all I did was turn around. But you probably got the point. So anyway, enough of that. Christ was not born December 25th. That is a lie. Christmas is none other than idolatry, since it is not from God, and we should have no part of it. And God makes this very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, going back to the different levels of lying, many people would agree that lying is wrong if you were to ask them up front. If you ask somebody, hey, do you think lying is wrong? They would automatically, they would say yes. However, many of those same people would then say, they think about it, and then would say, you know what, lying is okay in particular situations. Saying also that would be necessary at times. For example, when asked about their age. People sometimes may want to be older, so they can buy a particular drink or whatnot. Their weight. A lot of people don't want to admit how much they weigh, so they're going to give you another number. Whether they are sick. Let's say if you're called in to work, you say, I don't want to go to work today. I'm just going to call them sick. That's easy. Or what about what they may be wearing? Hey, honey, how do I look in this? Oh, yeah, that looks fine. No problem. Or how about what they did last night? Say, you're telling me the truth. I want to tell you something else so you wouldn't start an argument or what. And there's so many other things I can talk about. Or better yet, when a minister asks the church to do something. Like, for example, next week I plan to preach about the sin of lying. To help you understand my sermon, I want you all to read Mark chapter 17. So the following week, as he prepared to deliver his sermon, the minister asked for a show of hands. He wanted to know how many people had read Mark 17, and every hand went up. So the minister smiled and said, Mark has only 16 chapters. I will now proceed with the sermon on the sin of lying. Now, to avoid confrontation, it may be easier just to lie. But doing that may reap consequences. Sure, telling the truth can usually spark an argument, since an honest answer is not what the other person is expecting. Or one may think that a lie will better a situation when telling the truth could make it worse. There were many people in the Bible who thought that giving into lying would get them out of trouble. But the fact is that they found themselves getting into more trouble by lying. We all know about Abraham, who claimed that his wife Sarah was his sister. I actually do want to go over there real quick. Genesis chapter 20, verse 2. I know we've read this example a few times lately, but I want to read it again. So Genesis 20, verse 2. Now Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But Abraham wasn't going to have it that easy. Maybe it was easier for him, but God saw to it in the next verse, in verse 3. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now, it was partially true that Abraham had said about his wife, since she was also his half-sister. And I read about that in verse 12 and 13. However, Abraham made the statement to deceive Abimelech, and therefore it is a lie. Now, there are also lies that are blatant denials of guilt, as was the case with Adam and Eve, and then right to their son, who lied to God, who asked where his brother was, Brother Abel, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. Now to a more serious example in the book of Acts, chapter 5, where lying had terrible consequences and that this kind of a blatant denial would not be tolerated. I want to read Acts chapter 5. Verses 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men who arose and wrapped him up, carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Verse 9, then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. But once again, great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Now, if God wanted to, he would strike us dead in the moment we tell a lie. But he doesn't do that. He has incredible mercy for us. And he's incredibly patient. It seems very difficult to admit it when we are wrong. And it seems so easy instead to justify our mistakes by denying the facts to shade the truth, somehow by avoiding the plain and simple truth. Depending on the circumstance, we may sometimes need to be brutally honest, especially when religion comes into play. And yes, sometimes you could put it that way, it sounds a lot worse, but that's how people perceive it. When we tell them the truth that they don't want to hear, they're going to take it offensive, they're going to take it brutally. But I'm not saying to jump in every moment that you have an opportunity that's available, but when you are asked about it, when somebody asks you a question, I mean, well then, yeah, you want to answer them the best you can, truthfully. So we have to stand up for the truth. When we are asked, for example, what you're doing for Christmas, or if you have done your Christmas shopping yet, how are you going to answer? Or when somebody tells you that ridiculous statement, did you not know that Jesus is the reason for the season? Now, how will you respond when someone tells you that? And yes, I have been through that through my job, and someone had actually told me that. So all I did in response was say, prove it. And that was the end of the conversation. So anyway, in general, where do you draw the line when you are just joking around? Now we're going to something more, you know, I guess on a personal level, and people may have different views on that. But those who know me know that I like to joke around a lot. And you can usually tell when somebody is joking around, like especially me, by their body language, or by the tone of their voice, and of course when they finish a sarcastic statement with just joking. See, I can be sarcastic at times, but I'm probably not as sarcastic as some of the Colorado brethren that I know. Just joking. See, depending on the situation, you wouldn't want to say something that would offend the other person, or you wouldn't joke around with the wrong people, especially at a wrong place. I mean, for example, like an airport, you wouldn't want to say this four-letter word, and that's bomb, in case you're wondering. You don't want to say that in line, You don't want to be around a police officer and say something that could, you know, give them the reason to arrest you. You have to be careful that our joking around does not get out of hand. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You hear about that all the time, especially in the media, where people are being interviewed and all these things were being said about this other person. And then all of a sudden it gets out and everybody knows about it. And then they interview that same person again. And he says, oh, come on, I was just joking. How do you know at that time? You know, he didn't finish the statement at that time with that saying, just joking. But it happened like a week later, of course, because he knew all the pressure was on that certain individual. So that's where we have to be careful. Now, I did stumble upon, not really stumble upon, I was researching on the internet, and I did find in this nice list what is considered the 13 biggest lies in the world today from what people say. And I thought I would share some of these because I think we've been through some of these and maybe have said some of these, not intentionally to lie, but you know what I mean. So the first one is when someone says, the check is in the mail. Or what about, you get this one, I'll pay next time. Well, how about, you look great. Or, of course I love you. It's not the money, it's the principle of the thing. But we can still be good friends. Or don't worry, this will only take a minute. Or don't worry, I can go another 20 miles when the gauge is on empty. Or don't worry, he's never bitten anyone. Or one of my favorites, I'll call you later. Or, I've never done anything like this before. Or, which you're probably going to hear pretty soon, I'm from your government, and I am here to help you. Or last but not least, I do. Now, that's more of a worldly statement there anyway. Since I was just referring to the lighter side of lying, what would you do in situations that are more crucial? Would it be okay to lie to save someone's life in order to spare your own? Or to lie to save your own life? Now, this is a very difficult spot to be in, and hopefully we wouldn't have to be in a situation like this, but you may very well be in the future. But we all know that the simple answer is no. But when we are faced with this type of situation, would we be strong enough to make the right decision? See, this is where tremendous faith comes in. The Bible does not say that it is okay to lie in a particular situation such as this or any other situation, for that matter, even if you think differently in your minds. We must have faith in ourselves to do the right thing, as well as faith in God to help us in these predicaments so we can make the right decision. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, he was in situations just like this, and he was tempted by Satan, and he had to stand up for the truth by not lying. Many people even accused him of lying by saying that he was blaspheming, and the Pharisees tried to trick him into lying. Whoever did not believe what Christ said would make him out to be a liar. Please turn to John chapter 8. John John chapter 8, verse 45 through 47, Jesus Christ says, "But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." So here Christ was telling the truth, and yet they didn't believe him. Now, if you don't believe Christ, then you're going to call him a liar. Of course, you must understand, too, that a lot of these people that were hearing him were not even called to begin with. It is the utmost importance that we are to worship God in truth. It's John 4:24. And if we do the opposite, we sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21 states that no lie is of the truth. Since we know that, we could consider ourselves to be followers of God's truth. Since we know that, and we consider ourselves to be followers of God's truth, then we know that we cannot lie to anyone about anything at any time. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of God who created him." We used to be those old men, and now we are the new men because we've been baptized and we know the truth. If we have to believe that we have to lie in certain circumstances, we don't follow God, but we follow Satan the devil, who is the father of lies and the originator of lying. So go back to John 8:44 now. John chapter 8, verse 44. "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand the truth, because there is no truth in him. Where he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, if we are still not convinced how serious lying is and what consequences there are when we lie, especially when we don't repent, then let's go to a more serious scripture, to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And over to chapter 22, verse 15. "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." Practices a lie. That is a habitual statement. That's not somebody who just lies once, but someone who continues to lie. And practicing a lie, we already know that Christmas is based on a lie. So all those who celebrate Christmas are celebrating a lie. But notice, too, where lying and what category that falls into. And that falls into the things you could consider far worse than lying. But to God, it's all the same. It's all the same sin. Now, I want to read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, because in that we see that history has shown how humans exchange the truth with the lie. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to a vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That has happened then, and it's happening today. Now, on the flip side, if we do follow God, and we believe in Him, then all things are possible, no matter what the situation asks of. Then we will know that it all will work out for good. Romans 8:28. God wants us to be true, and He wants us to be honest, especially with our neighbors. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The words that come out of our mouths must be as pure as gold. Now, we don't need to have it in writing and then signed like just about everything else in this world with their written contracts and their voice recordings. And for example, you call like a phone company or some other company, and then they say in their message, now we're going to be recording your voice, recording what you say for training purposes. Now, to me, I think that's more like they want to record your voice so that way if you don't call back, you sue them or something. The world will soon know how it should be in James chapter 5, verse 12, because our words will be true. James chapter 5, verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Falling into judgment. Now, a lot of people, actually today, because it's not that way, if you say yes to something and that's all you answer, then there will be a lot of things going on in the mind, what else they could mean behind that. So there's a lot of judging that comes into play. But we know in the future that we don't have to worry about those things. There should never be a need to lie. We don't have to say everything that is going on or that we know about. We can be selective on what we say. But everything that we do say must be of the truth. We must become perfect just as God is perfect. And since His will and character consists of perfection, the result is the impossibility for God to lie. We've got that in Titus 1, verse 2, and also in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. We'll actually go to that. You can if you like. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. I'm going to skip down a little bit. It is impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. But that is it right there. Because it is impossible for God to lie, and because we will soon be that way, then we will have the same understanding as God. And since our potential is to be like God, all we have to do till that point is to strive for that perfection.